Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Moses and I have a lot in common. Now, my mother never put me in a basket and floated me down the river. I wasn't raised in a king's house. I didn't kill a slave foreman. I didn't herd sheep or goats. I don't boast a staff or an impressively long beard, and never will, I hope. I've never heard God's voice speaking to me out of a bush that is covered in fire but not consumed. And yet when I did finally cotton on to the fact that maybe God was calling me into some sort of ministry, my answer and Moses' answer are almost exactly the same. Who, me? What do you mean, me? A little bit after this passage, Moses does one of the best things I think you can possibly do when you've been called by God, questions whether or not God is correct in choosing, and says, oh, I think you meant my brother Aaron. See, I'm a stutterer. I don't speak well in front of groups. I don't really like that. But Aaron, he's a natural leader. People love him. They'll listen to whatever he has to say. I'm sure you meant him. And we think that that's really funny for Moses to challenge God in that way, but that was exactly my response. I was convinced that God really meant to call my roommate as I was in college. And those dorm rooms are very small, you know. She was only 6 feet south of me. It's an easy mistake to make. Now, my roommate, she was a Christian's Christian. She was a lifelong church member and attendee. She would go home on weekends to go to church with her parents, whereas I attended church in college. And in the first semester of my freshman year, I think I had been to church as many times as I had my entire 4 years of high school put together, but that was still only like 5 or 6 times. And I went to the campus Christian meeting things, but, you know, I kind of kept to myself a little bit, whereas she was just a beautiful singer. I felt like I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And she, when she did sing, she would lift her hands in the air in this wonderful attitude of praise and worship, whereas I told her that in Vermont, as a Catholic, my elbows had been permanently affixed to my sides with a staple gun when I was younger, and I couldn't possibly raise my hands any higher than my shoulders. She went to an all-Christian high school, and she knew her Bible backwards and forwards and inside out, and I was convinced that the Lord of heaven and earth was just off by a few feet. It's a common mistake. And God really meant to call her, not me. After all, who am I that I could speak the word of God to anyone? Who am I to be used as a person, a vessel of God's glory, God's word, God's power in the world? You can't mean me. I think you meant my brother Aaron. He's a much better public speaker. Moses isn't alone in this. Just about every prophet and person called has something very similar. We all come up with excuses every time God calls us, don't we? And we're no different than the people in the Bible, right? So when God calls Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, I'm too young. Nobody listens to young people. And when God calls Isaiah, Isaiah says, oh, Lord, I am a person of unclean lips. I cannot possibly speak your word. And when God calls Jonah to go preach salvation to the Ninevites, Jonah says, oh, God, I couldn't possibly do that. I hate the Ninevites. I don't want them to be saved. And on and on and on, all these excuses about who we are and why we can't possibly be the ones God wants to call. Who, me? Who am I that you would call me? But in all of these instances, God gives the same answer. To lovingly paraphrase, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about who you are. In all of these questions, in all of these situations, God does not reassure the person about why God has chosen him or her by saying, oh, no, you're great. Who are you? Well, let me tell you all about yourself, Moses. You're wonderful. That's why I've called you. No, God's answer is always the same. It's not you. It's me. I'm the one who's calling you, and I will go with you. I will put my words in your mouth. I will give you the strength that you need. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am, says God. I am that I am, and I am has sent you. So it doesn't matter who you are, and I don't want to hear any of your excuses. So when Jonah says, I can't possibly preach salvation to the Ninevites because I don't want them to be saved, God doesn't say to Jonah, well, here's the argument as to why you should change your mind so that you do want them to be saved, and then you can go preach salvation to the Ninevites. God says, I want them to be saved. It's about me and my grace. And when Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips, I couldn't possibly speak your word, God doesn't say, oh, your lips are fine. God says, okay, then I purify your lips, and I put my words in your mouth. I sent you. Doesn't matter how clean or unclean you think your lips are. And when Jeremiah says, I can't speak the word of God because I'm a young person and nobody listens to young people, God doesn't say, well, they should listen to young people. I'd really like it if the Bible said that. That would have given me something to point to in my first couple years of ministry. See, God said, listen to me. No, God says, I called you before you were born. Doesn't matter how young you think you are. And when Moses says, I stutter, I stumble, I'm not known to the people, there are so many others who would be so much better at this than I am, and Pharaoh is so powerful, who am I to stand against them? God says simply, I will be with you. Doesn't matter who you are. Moses has the wonderful impertinence to then ask, okay, well then who are you? And God says, I am that I am. Stop asking silly questions, and I'm the one who's sending you. Now go and speak my word. It's not about you. It's about me, says God. Doesn't matter who is being called. It matters who is doing the calling. We come up with a lot of excuses, and God accepts none of them. I'm too busy. I'm too small. It's too big a job. It's too frightening. I'm too old. I'm too young. It's the wrong time in my life to help in this way. You can't possibly call me because I'm not very good at whatever it is you want me to be doing. And God's answer is always the same. I will be with you. It's not about you. It's about me, says God. We got some rain this week. We got a lot of rain. And the devastation throughout our state was breathtaking. In Waterbury, in Northfield, if you've been to some of these places, or if you've seen the pictures from Brandon and Mendon and parts of southern Vermont where people were cut off for days, for the week. It's overpowering, it's overwhelming. And who are we compared to that level of power, that kind of magnitude? What can one or two people possibly do in the face of that destruction? And yet, I know a lot of you have been doing, regardless. I know that Dave and Judy have been to Waterbury with Dick and Ernie. I know that Doc and Mary have been to Waitsfield with their daughter. I know Mona and Vicky and Jennifer Hart, who's not here, have been to Northfield. Jennifer's been, I think, all over the place collecting supplies and dropping them off wherever she can. I bet many more of you have been out and about just doing what can be done. I know there are more of you that want to be doing what can be done, whether it's making phone calls to help organize volunteers or collecting supplies or working to clean and to replace or organizing fundraisers and helping people just feel a sense of relief at knowing that someone cares in the midst of this destruction. And we're ordinary people. Those of you who've been doing this work aren't doing it because you're powerful, but because God is. Because it's not about the person called, it's about the one doing the calling. In the face of destruction like we've seen in the past week, there is no human power strong enough, but there is a divine power strong enough. And as Methodists, we believe that part of how we are called to live in the world is how we live with one another, how we help one another in God's name. That's our calling. And in the tradition of Moses and the prophets, we know that our calling is not about us, but about God, who calls us and equips us and sends us and goes with us. Who are we to help? Who are we to do anything in the face of this destruction? It's not about us. It's about God. So no excuses. How is God calling you? Is God calling you to help organize volunteers, to become a worker, to add physical labor? Is God calling you to gather resources, buckets, kits, rags, and cleaning supplies? Is God calling you to call on those who have experienced devastation and tell them that you are lifting them in prayer? Is God calling you to work in the church as a leader, as an example, as a teacher? Is God calling you to preach or teach? Is God calling you to go to those in our country or around the world in need? Is God calling you to talk with your friends and coworkers? Is God calling you to invite a family member to church? Is God calling you to take a new step in your faith? Our natural inclination, our completely natural inclination, is to say, "Who, me? Who am I that you would call me to do anything?" Because if we look at ourselves, we know that we are not enough. But if we look at God, we know that God is. It's not about us. It's not you, God says. It's me. It's not the ones called. It's the one doing the calling. The one who calls us, equips us, sends us, and goes with us. So may we have the courage to lay aside our excuses and instead respond in faith and in courage, knowing that it is God who calls. And that's all we need to know. Amen.